I want to, you know, for anyone listening, I just want to let them know I'm actually really, really excited about this conversation that we're having here on leadership and legacy. It's with someone who's made a big difference in my life, and his name is Maurice Bassett. And I'm going to let him introduce himself, but I just want to share with you, Maurice, that your work and your publishing has made a profound difference in my life. I have a few of the books behind me. I don't think the camera's getting the whole shelf, but I have the Million Dollar Sticky Note and a lot of the Steve Chandler books. And I read the books that you help produce, and I cry, I laugh, I have a full experience. And I actually take those lessons and implement them into my life. But I want to make sure people know who you are. So if you could, yeah, share who you are and just what you do.
Thank you, James. I appreciate that. Yeah, there's nothing more important to me as a publisher than knowing that people are reading the books that I publish, but not only reading them, but really enjoying them and making good use of them. And since mostly what I publish are nonfiction titles like personal development and business and psychology, they really are books that are meant to be mined and made use of. You know, they should be enjoyable to read in some ways also, but they're really there to support you and be of service to you. Yeah, it warms my heart to know that, you know, that you've been enjoying them and making good use of them. And that's pretty much what I'm all about at this point in my life. You know, I've been publishing since 2001, and I've done some dozens of books and quite a few audiobooks as well. And I have some best-selling authors, like Steve Chandler is probably the one who comes to mind for most people because he's quite popular, but I have a couple of other best-selling authors as well. And it's just, the love of my life right now. It's something I love doing, and other people seem to benefit. So, you know, why not just keep doing it? You know, it's hard to imagine not doing it, although maybe there'll be a time someday. But for now, I just love it. And it's like all systems go, green lights all the way.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I thought this was really special because I think a lot of what we see, at least in my experience, what I see online and I see in a lot of social media marketing is a lot of, I'm trying to describe it, it's almost like hyped up business, hyped up sales, and sort of like hyped up leadership. And I'm not trying to diminish those things, but I personally didn't always necessarily relate to that. And I think the way that you, from my experience, the way that you seem to approach your business, the way that you approach connecting with people and making a difference, just felt very meaningful, felt very sincere. And I think there's a lot of meaningful and sincere people out there, but I kind of want to like shout from the rooftops how people can have a meaningful and sincere business. And in the same way, be a sincere and meaningful leader, and have a meaningful legacy that's happening right now. It's not some distant place in the future. So I guess that's kind of me highlighting what brought my attention and really interested me in having a conversation with you. I'm curious, what's your take, or how would you describe your approach to your leadership and creating in your life?
Well, it's a very good question. There's leadership on different levels. I mean, I have a very small team of people. I only have 5 people on the team. So you might say, well, I'm a leader as far as the team goes, but there's also being a leader in terms of the world, how you show up in the world, what you're doing for others throughout the world, not just doing locally for your own company or even within your own community. There's all kinds of different levels to it. I should say, though, that I don't really think too much about it. You know, I mean, I kind of my approach is to come from a place of love and service in what I do. So I'm not really thinking, what would a leader do? What would it look like for me to be a leader in this moment or in this situation? But I'm thinking, you know, what can I do to support and serve this other person? What can I do to make things better? And so I do feel that, you know, a leader has to be a change agent or a change maker, a catalyst for change and transformation. And those are things that I strive to be. If you think back to, not a lot of people really follow him probably nowadays, but the psychologist Abraham Maslow had a term for people that were at the highest level of motivation. He called them self-actualizing people. And he wrote a lot about this in his books and articles. And so to me, a good leader is a self-actualizing person, S-A person. So as someone who's a good person, you know, it's not so much about making money or being efficient or productive or anything like that, innovative. It's in a sense about being a good person and treating people the way that you would like to be treated, which is, you know, the golden rule, which a lot of people kind of don't remember nowadays, you know, like, but it's right. Pretty basic. It's pretty essential to, you know, having good relationships with people and also having a good successful business. Or if you're an entrepreneur, you may be the only one. You don't have a team, but still you have to think about treating people the way that you'd like to be treated, and also coming from a place of love and service. So for me, those are really the essentials to leadership. And, you know, the impact, it's hard to say, you know, my books go all over the world, but I don't often hear back from people. I mean, I'm hearing back from you, but, you know, you're the exception. Not too many people reach out to me and say, hey, this book, The $1 Million Sticky Note, it really opened my eyes. It kind of helped me to elevate consciousness in some way. But it's very rare that I hear from anybody, quite frankly. Now, the authors may hear from their audience, their fans, you know, more often than I do, but I don't hear so much.
Yeah. Well, I think it's quite amazing, because what I've witnessed and what I see with people is a lot of times in contrast to a lot of the things that you're describing, right? It's when they're having their business or they're creating, it's almost like the shiny objects they're chasing. And I'm not making that wrong, right? Because I think we all enjoy money. We all enjoy success and making a difference in people's lives. I think it's almost the way of getting there is different. And these ideas, right, of being of service and really wanting to be a change agent, making a difference in people's lives, and that self-actualization that you spoke about. There's the element of creating in the world, but then there's also this idea of just, like you said, who you're showing up each day. How about for the people in your life? I'm curious, what drew you to that style in terms of operating? I know it might not have been like a conscious thing, but yeah.
Yeah, it is funny, because I don't know that I can absolutely pinpoint one person or one book or one experience, but I do think it was kind of an evolution, you know, kind of a personal evolution or conscious evolution that took place, you know, over decades, really. I mean, you know, I'm not a young man. And I think just, you know, from reading, from having mentors of various kinds over the years, from having various experiences from traveling, I just started to realize that how I like to be treated myself, and how that was a very powerful thing. If I'm able to treat people, others at that very high level, which is how I want to be treated, which seems pretty basic to me, but in some ways it's a high level, because people aren't so conscious of service, quite frankly, these days. And it just kind of came to me that this is something we can step into. Like, we all have this potential. in coaching, people say, well, they want to be the best version of themselves and things like that. But I mean, it's true. We all have this potential to come from a place of love and service. The Chinese have a saying, a man without a smile should not open a shop. I mean, it's like, you know, everybody gets it. Everybody realizes that, you know, if you want to be successful, if you want to have good relationships, if you want to enjoy your life, have a good life, and do good in your community, do good in the world, you know, you have to be able to do this. Gandhi said, Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. I mean, you have to be the change, you know, and if you want to live in a more loving world, a world that's more supportive and serviceful, then yeah, that's what you have to be. You have to, you know, have that within yourself and come from those places yourself, have those values. And so that's kind of, you know, what I strive for. And I have found over time that I've connected with more and more people that have the same kind of vibe, you know, the same vibration. So, and it's easy enough to do because you start to sense that, you know, like, oh, James gets me. He sees where I'm coming from. And he reads Steve Chandler's books like Wealth Warrior. It's all about service and creating prosperity through service. Like, James gets it. Well, other people also get it and they connect. And, you know, so more and more it does happen. And, you know, I connect with not just fans of Steve's work, but, you know, all kinds of people. And I can see like, oh, this person gets it. So those are the people that I want to surround myself with as much as possible and avoid the people that are all negative and doom and gloom and all this. So I think that's also a very powerful thing, is just be mindful of, you know, of your inner circle and also ways to maybe expand your inner circle. You know, there's nothing saying that you have to be stagnant and only have your 12 friends or your 50 friends or whatever. You could have thousands of people. You could have millions of people. I mean, again, look at Gandhi. I mean, he had millions of followers, you know, and even to this day, I mean, he was assassinated in 1948, but even to this day, I mean, he's revered as a saint. But it's because of his way, you know, his way of living, his philosophy, his ideals, and not really just ideals, but, you know, ideals that he lived. So what can I say? You know, it's a journey, and I don't know that there's really an end point that, you know, you reach a certain point and you say, okay, now I've achieved my salvation or whatever it is. I think it's really a progression and an unfolding, and you just continue to learn and learn and learn and grow. And, you know, that's kind of where I am, is I'm on the journey along with everybody else.
Yeah. And I feel like this, you know, to me, this really exemplifies the idea of leadership and legacy, right? It's what's happening right now. It's how you're showing up each day, who you're connecting with, the way you're being with them. I find that a lot of times when I meet different business owners, you know, maybe at one point they were chasing the money, or perhaps they were just, you know, really focused on trying to have their business be successful. And from what I've witnessed, there's a lot of pressure that they can put on themselves to achieve that. And, you know, by the time I'm in a conversation with them, they're kind of just, you know, pulling their hair out, and they're like, you know, it was great to reach this level, but they're kind of going, I got to change something. And when you were talking about really being of service and showing up, I love the way that you highlighted that. Is there a tip that you would give to them, in a sense, to say, you know, if you're talking about being of service and how you're showing up, a way that might be different that they might not have thought of, or a way that, yeah, or maybe the best way is to share a way that you show up meaningfully. I think we've probably highlighted a couple, but yeah, I'm curious if there's a way that comes to you that you think, you know what, my idea of being of service might be showing up this way with the people in my life or on my team.
Yeah, I can share a couple of things, but I can't say that I'm the originator, because these are things that I've gotten from other people who inspired me. So one comes from a man named James, who is an owner of several hair salons in Florida. He's extremely successful and just an incredible role model for me. And he, as a business owner, you know, he and I would talk, and because we would kind of compare notes about things and how is business going and how is the service for you, and we would talk and all this, because there's a lot of customer service in the work that I do, but also, of course, he's got a shop where people are coming and going all day long, hundreds of people, three shops. And so he at some point he shared his kind of basic philosophy with me, and it came to these questions. He said, the questions to keep in mind as a business owner are, what is the tone of your business? And do your customers feel welcomed and valued? And it just blew me away, because I thought, wow, you know, I'd never really thought about the tone. You know, I mean, yes, am I upbeat? Am I positive? You know, what's the experience like for people who are interacting with me if I send them a email, or if I call them, or whatever it might be, even if they went to my website? You know, is there anything negative or critical or any friction there? And then, so that's something really to look at as far as your business relationships are concerned and the success of your business, viability of your business. And then also, do your customers feel welcomed and valued? I mean, it was huge for me, because what James was doing with me, and what I now attempt to do with myself and with others, is to elevate consciousness. If you can just elevate your consciousness just slightly, you know, if you could just elevate it 1% or 2%, just a little bit, but you maintain that path, that trajectory, then you're just going to inevitably get better and better and better. So do your customers feel welcome? Well, talk to them, get their feedback, you know, make sure that they are feeling welcome. Like for him, he has people coming in, they sit in a waiting room. Well, he makes sure they have coffee, they have tea, they have water, they have a nice comfortable chair. It's in Florida, so the air conditioning has to be running and it's nice and cool for them. There's like people checking on them if they need anything. There's restrooms, and he makes sure that everything is perfectly comfortable and convenient for people that are coming in, that they feel like they're important, James and all of his staff members are happy to see them, which I think they really genuinely are. It's not a show, like they really are. And I think they feel valued, and this is, but it's important for all of us to think about our customers and clients, and even potential clients, to have this sense of being valued by us. Yeah, they may not walk into our hair salon, because we don't all have hair salons, but we all have email, we all have text messages, we all have phone calls, and some of us do have offices. So if I was to meet with an architect or an interior designer, you know, I might go into that person's office, and yeah, I want to feel welcomed, I want to feel valued. I might meet with my insurance agent or whoever it might be. So some of these interactions are actually in person. It's not all by email, of course. And so I think that is one sort of, hate to say trick, but it's a tip or just kind of a moment of learning for me that I like to share with people, is to just ask those basic questions and try to elevate your consciousness around your relationship, even just occasionally reminding yourself that those are really, really critical questions to be aware of.
Yeah, I love that. And what I think, it's funny, I wrote a new, an updated vision. I do a new one every 90 days. And what I wrote in there is, I set the tone and tempo of who I'm connecting with. Yeah. And you made me think of that. I love the way that you highlighted that, of knowing what the tone, you know, of people's experiences with you, and making sure that they feel valued. That's huge. Because I think when our sights, when we have so many things to do during the day, or we're focused on the next thing, it can be so easy to overlook those. when those are actually the greatest gift right in front of us.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's another person that's influenced me quite a lot. He's an author and a blogger by the name of Mark Brady. He has a couple of things which these are concepts which he uses in his blog posts. He's kind of a brain guy, you know, he's like constantly doing research into the brain and reading brain books and all this stuff. Wow. And so one of them is, one of these concepts is what he calls the big brain question. And it's the question is, and he says this is so vital to everyone, children, adults, business people, non-business people, but he says the question that everybody has in their brain or in their mind that they want to know is, are you there for me? And there, you know, psychological health to a large extent depends on the answer to that question, because that question is being asked constantly. Now, maybe not, it's not being vocalized, that people aren't literally asking it, but you ask it of your friends, your family, your neighbors, people you work with. You want to know, basically, are you there for me? You know, do you have my back? Or am I just out alone in the wilderness? Am I on my own here? Or are we all in this together? So are you there for me? And so that is actually something that I think of a lot too, is am I there? Not that are other people there for me, but am I there for the other people? You know, because I'm thinking now, in an attempt to elevate my own consciousness, I'm thinking, well, these people have this conscious or unconscious question, are you there for me? And so I want to make sure that I am there for them, whether it's, again, family, friend, someone I work with, neighbor, community person. I want to make sure that I am there for them in whatever way that I can be. I think that's, it's also just a very powerful way to be of service. So I thank Mark Brady for that. I think he has another a concept which maybe I should just let people go look it up, but it's the golden rule of social neuroscience, which I think is actually quite brilliant. But maybe in the interest of time, we'll leave it at that, and people can look it up if they want. But he's actually quite brilliant, and I do recommend his blog.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll definitely recommend that, you know, people go check that out. I mean, your recommendations, I always love them. And so I appreciate you sharing them. And yeah, you know, I think this is really special in terms of, or really great, what you're highlighting here, because yeah, a lot of times we, as you were saying that, I could literally sense just interactions with family and friends going, oh yeah, actually internally that is the overarching theme that can occur. Yeah. And so I love just kind of trying that on as well, the other way of am I there for them, or am I there for clients, or just people who are looking to connect and wanting someone to connect with, because listening is just such a powerful thing. Yeah. And having someone there is not something that everybody experiences. And so I think there's great power behind that.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the most beautiful things about coaching is most people don't have anyone in their lives that will actually listen to them.
You right.
know? But unless they have an agenda. So, you know, you might, your spouse might listen to you, but your spouse then has an agenda or has something that, you know, an axe to grind, something that, you know, needs to be done, so that your spouse is going to interrupt you, perhaps, you know. And but if you have a coach who's, in theory, more of a neutral person, that you're, you know, your coach may be able to just listen and not be judgmental and not have all this sort of stuff to bring up, you know. Mm-hmm. Have all these agendas and things. I mean, you're the agenda. If you're the coaching client, it should be that you're the agenda, not that, like, your spouse will have an agenda for you, but if you're the coaching client, you are the agenda. So it can be a beautiful thing.
Right. Especially in relationships, it's really easy for any person to have their agenda, the thing on their mind, that they're trying to move towards, and there isn't always that space, like you're saying. And so that is really powerful. I really want to, you know, thank you for taking the time to be here and share your wisdom and your experience. I mean, you've sold, like you were sharing the other day when we were talking, you've sold hundreds of thousands of books. They're all over the world and making a difference in people's lives. And I love that people are going to be able to take these teachings or these lessons or these tips and really implement them in their own way. I know for you, you said you like unstructured time, and then there's some people that like the structured time. And so I love how there can be these different principles and someone gets to incorporate them in the way that they operate or what moves them and the flow of their day. And so I really appreciate you being here.
My pleasure, James.
Yeah. If anyone wanted to check out your work, where would you recommend that they go?
Well, not too many people go to my website because it's all about the books that I've published, and usually people go to Amazon for books, not to my website. But my website is my name, MauriceBassett.com. So if people go there, they can see what books I've published. I think most of them are on there. And also there's a contact page. So if they want to send me a message, they can send a message. So, and I'm on Facebook. So, yeah, that's fine.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I hope everyone has an awesome day. And I'd love to hear just what you got out of this. Yeah, out of this conversation. How did you see yourself in it? What did you get out of it? What might you bring into your life or into your day? And I think Maurice would be excited to hear that as well. Thanks for listening. And remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And head on over to jmwhiteman.com so you can see how to bring your legacy and your leadership in business to the next level. I'll see you in the next episode.